Look at that guy. He's your own flesh and blood. But right now, your hatred for him is biblical. He's been tearing apart your secondary for years. And now he says he's figured out why your passing game's so weak. It's because you have small hands, and you wet the bed. But he's getting sloppy and blitzing on every down. So suddenly, you're just a few quick slant passes away from finally kicking his
ass. Matt, NFL 12.
This is getting stupid.
Did that make a sound?
Hey.
Did that make
yourself.
A sound? Because I don't have...
Damn, they're oily hides!
Fucking... Stupid,
too loud.
Stupid Call of Duty XP, which I had a great time at.
Yeah,
Talk Radar.
Fuck that show for
177.
Giving me such a good time.
Yes, I'm Chris Antista.
I'm Michael Rivarez.
I'm Matt Keast.
I'm Charlie Barrett's laptop.
And damn it. Jesus, what the fuck? What is all this crap?
Forget you, dirthead.
I am running so bare bones. Yeah, but today, hold on. Today in Talk Radar 177, we're going to talk maybe a little bit about Ico, Shadow of the Colossus HD Collection.
Yes.
We have reviews up for Resistance 3.
And Dead Island.
And Dead Island.
And Blood Rain Betrayal.
And yeah, Blood Rain Betrayal. Jesus, Matt.
And Driver San Francisco.
And Driver... Matt, calm down. Take a day off. You shouldn't even be...
I didn't write that.
Oh, okay.
And Gears of War 3.
Gears of War 3. We have our exclusive review for Gears of War 3. And I have no ability to cue the proper sound effects because of Call of Duty XP. I have no laptop.
Ooh, yeah,
and no sound.
Yes. Are you going to tell that story?
I am. I better tell it right
it's
now.
It's a very upsetting story.
I was supposed to be on vacation anyway. But two, I didn't want to have a bad show. Wait a minute. Hold on. Before we start off, this show has a sponsor. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, I did.
I did.
All right. This show has a sponsor. This podcast is sponsored by Disgaea 4, A Promise Unforgotten, which takes the niche Netherworld comedy RPG series to the political arena. Campaign, run in the evilection, and declare your manifesto as you battle your way to power in the latest installment of the Disgaea series. I'm a big fan of the Disgaea series. Thank you, Disgaea. Who's that, NIS Atlas?
NIS.
All right, I almost got it. Yeah, I don't have any of my proper sound effects. We went to Call of Duty XP. We'll talk about that in a second because it was a blast.
Okay.
But the gift bag I didn't look at beyond the free game and included, which now is fucking stupid prerequisite when you go to a gaming event. What do you need? A can of Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm. You didn't look at it even though I told you there was a can of Mountain Dew.
You did tell me there was a can of Mountain Dew. I just didn't think about it when running to the airplane at 9:30 in the morning. So, of course, it... put it through the scanner. So I'm really good in an airport. And I'll have it off, my shoes off, my belt off. Woo. I wish I had a better sound effect because that's what our show is based on. But the airport flagged.
That's something.
Flagged my I'm without sound effects. Flagged my bag with contraband because it had a soda in it. So there's like you're gonna have to go back out and recheck in and like. Why? He's like, to bring the soda on. Like, I don't care about the soda. Fucking throw it away. And, all right, you have to wait over here, sir. They run my bag through. Take my laptop out in accordance with TSA regulations and don't put it back in. And I run to meet my flight without my laptop, which is still currently in TSA. Shit, if you know anybody down there who can get me my laptop back because they're not answering phone calls or messages or emails, you might get your podcast back. I don't know. I can't really speak to that. Because I'm flying without a computer. What I've found is like an old backup file I had of sounds like I never, ever, ever use. That one, yeah. See, a bunch of shit you haven't heard played in like 100 episodes. Hi, Charlie Barrett.
I have something to say at the end of your story.
What's that?
Is your story over?
Yeah, it's over, I guess.
I was going to say... I was going to say, I bet Brett wouldn't have forgotten the Mountain Dew in the gift bag.
Shut up about Brett. I didn't want the first post-Brett show to be super shitty, but it's like the odds were against me. Fate has decided that, well, yeah. Did somebody else say something?
Brett.
Where's that Brett bought
Mountain Dew.
Where's Brett?
I had a good introduction I had planned for you already. I'll just have to save that. But thanks to this guy, folks, the Call of Duty XP event was fucking kind of badass.
So what did Kanye play?
Kanye played
a bunch of stuff.
He played a bunch of stuff. He did the song about Jesus walking.
Yeah.
And did he play Call of Duty?
No. I think he showed up an hour after all the machines were turned off. Pretty late.
Did he play any Call of Duty themed songs? Had he written a new Call of Duty themed song?
He did not even acknowledge. He never even said the words Call of Duty.
No.
During his set.
No.
Did he say Activision?
Nope.
No, I don't believe he did.
Did he say Captain Price?
No.
Did he say I'm disgusted?
He did say Charlie Barrett.
Oh,
while making hip thrusting motions. Yeah,
I didn't have to ask about that.
And winked.
I didn't know what he did,
camera.
But
that's the thing he does at every concert.
He lifted a sideways fist to his cheek and then put his tongue to the other side and then said Charlie Barrett.
Yeah. I think it's when we ate ice cream together. That's a reference.
That's believable.
I had a pipe warp here. This is
nice.
Ridiculous.
It's like we're discovering it with you.
Hi, welcome, guys. But we have a top 7 this week or something. Oh, no, let's the Call of Duty XP event.
Yes, what about it? What do you want to say? We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shit to do. They had a fun slide and clown makeup. And
they did have clown makeup.
They did have face painting.
And a fun slide.
Strangely enough. They had the zip line counts as a fun slide.
I talked to somebody there, because we were like going into this event, like, yeah, we'll attend, but what is there to do?
Mm-hmm.
And like,
for me, I played it on the first night we were there, the press event mm-hmm. on Thursday, and wrote the preview overnight, and I was kind of done.
Michael was done, like, and the rest was like up to me and our cameraman Chris Chen to just try and do stupid shit with all the other stuff, which surprised me because I didn't think, how do you make an event around a single game series, especially one that's serious about the military? But they had...
Well, specifically around one game that's coming out
pretty
in November.
Much. It was pretty much based around Modern Warfare, period.
Yeah. And so, like, we're showing off one new mode on 6 maps.
Yeah, on 6 maps. But the Gauntlet was interesting. The Gauntlet was, like, people could line up. There were, like, over 1,000 360s there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did well in one session, you got to move up into the Gauntlet. And the people who sucked got kicked out and had to get back in line.
Cool.
And that's in addition to a $1 million tournament.
So how'd you guys do in the which ones did you run?
I did not play the game once. I never touched it.
No,
I never touched it.
How'd you do in the actual real life recreations of the maps?
Oh well, we should have a video of that. I'm proud to say, Craig from ScrewAttack. I think Craig from ScrewAttack teabagged me with a HD first person camera helmet cam. So hopefully that video footage came out. You can see me running around Scrapyard as if it were like the game. It's a pretty worthy recreation. Those paintballs hurt. We filmed a bunch of silly shit. There was a Jeep experience, which essentially was a Universal Studios ride that probably cost a lot of money. Ooh. It was very loud, involved laser sights, smoke, live ammo, and lots of actors and
probably
fireballs.
Probably not live ammo.
No.
I'm saying live ammo because it's blanks. That's live ammo.
No, live ammo is bullets.
Live.
What?
Live ammo is actual bullets.
Yes. I don't believe you.
Yes.
I don't believe you. The blanks are just as dangerous. You tell that to Brandon Lee's
family.
When
they say live fire exercise, that means we are using actual ammo.
No.
Yes.
I want you to die Mario 2 style. I am really like
that. So would you go to an amusement... If they had an entire Call of Duty themed amusement park, would that work?
Well, they didn't... Maybe, but...
That's kind of what it was. More like a Call of Duty themed carnival with like five things.
Should Disney or Universal add a land?
All right.
Yes.
They
should add a Burger Town, which was
basically,
also there.
What was the Burger Town?
It was overpriced convention.
Oh, it was terrible food. But it was still cool to see that recreated. It was the best pre-order bonus you've ever had. The tickets were like $100-$150. You show up, you play the most anticipated game of the year early with your friends, join a $1 million tournament.
You live in the area, otherwise it costs a little bit extra.
Well, I think in terms of like what if it's something you really like advanced gameplay, I didn't know the ticket price included the hardened edition of the game. You get that for free.
Good.
Inside that is a $50 Call of Duty Elite subscription, a founder status, free. Also included in your ticket, Kanye West and Dropkick Murphys. Free.
Murphy.
Stop it.
You actually get Kanye West.
Stop it.
He has to come and hang out with you and sit on your couch.
He plays live music whenever you play Call of Duty.
Yeah, zipline, like,
glare at you and be bored.
Kevin Garnett was there playing with basketball players were there playing with people. Like, seriously, like 18-year-old to 20-year-old kids walked out of there with $400,000 for them.
Wow.
After 2 days of practicing in Modern Warfare 3. It was a very cool event. And Call of Duty is a big game, so if they do it again, like, it was totally worth it.
So Halo recently did something like that too.
They did.
Compare and contrast, which one was better?
But you didn't have to pay to get in. There was actually, like, the Halo thing was just a beautiful fan celebration. Like, this is like a legitimate show. And since they were charging, I thought it was fairly worth the value. Got a cool video going up. Got interviews with, like, I love that I got interviews with Dan Amrick. This is an order of importance. Dan Amrick, Major Nelson, and Nick Swardson. All talking passionately about
Marvel. And you managed to not punch Nick Swardson in the face for those fucking Bucky Larson commercials.
I don't blame him. He's got tight bonds with Adam Sandler. He's required to make bad movies.
He's required to make bad movies with fucking buck teeth.
Yeah. Well, you have to play a character. Otherwise, it's just the same movie over and over.
Oh, yeah. Which it is.
What was the toughest question you asked Dan Amrick?
Dan Amrick? How are you so pretty? It defies all the odds. Everything I know about you. I don't remember. I was flying by the seat. I interviewed Michael Raparez.
That's true. I did. You interviewed me and Dave Redden from OXM.
The hands-on impressions. Like, what'd you think of the kill confirmed mode? That was kind of the takeaway for me.
I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. The fact that, I mean, you get personal. Like, I had to have this explained to me a couple times because they're like, yeah, you don't get points for the kill. You have to run up and grab their dog tag. And it's like, well, you get personal points for kills. Mm. Like, you will get, it'll still pop up and say 150 points, but that's for you.
For you and your team.
In order for your team to score points, then you have to grab the dog tags that appear when your enemies die.
Giant dog tags, you can't miss them.
You can also get points by grabbing your fallen teammates' dog tags, by denying your enemy the kill.
That's right. So they don't get that kill at all if you grab the dog tags from your fallen teammate.
Yep.
Kind of cool.
A little reminiscent of Crysis 2, because in Crysis 2 they drop dog tags.
Mm-hmm. So that was my next point. I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
And that's the only way you can get kill streaks. You have to pick up the dog tags.
Yeah,
so for instance, a sniper that just camps and snipes people will never get kill streaks.
Now you can still get kill streaks without the dog tags.
Right.
I think.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Is my folder system always going to make this noise as I click? Makes everybody sad.
It does.
It's just a baby.
Let's go in a top seven.
It has no meaning anymore.
That's true. It's been stripped of all its meaning. Let's engage with the top seven. God, I hate this. engage with the top seven.
Do you not have the numbers anymore?
No. The numbers are locked away in a laptop.
Can we just do them?
Sure. Number seven. What was the top seven? It's written by our new guy, Hollander Cooper, who joined us today just for the first time. Our new employee.
Yeah.
It's that top seven games that should have sucked but didn't.
Written by our Brett replacement.
Yeah. Our Brett placement. Yeah. But, you know, replacing from the back end. So it's like he's now the lowest man on the totem pole. As opposed to Brett, who was the highest.
As opposed to me. Anywho, what is top seven games
that should have sucked but didn't?
Totally, yes. I'm
which
very,
is kind of a,
very much behind this.
I wrote a feature similar to this back in 2007, which is kind of the same thing, but I took a different angle and was like focusing on games that were like about weird concepts, like Phoenix Wright's about a lawyer. That shouldn't be fun, but it was. And Harvest Moon's about farming. It's not fun. Shouldn't be fun, but it is. This was actually games that, just based on what they, like the pedigree or what it was a sequel to or the license, should have been terrible. And, they weren't. Doesn't mean they're all great, but they didn't suck.
They did not suck. I'm trying to load it up. Oh, and here's number seven. Thanks, Charlie.
This is one near and dear to Chris's heart.
50 Cent. Well, I just played it like recently on the recommendation of Chinspired.
And on the live stream you played it.
I did. I love that bit in the 24-hour video where just like laying into the idle co-op partner's face with a shotgun and his face is just this explosion of blood while he makes no expression.
To clarify, this is 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Not to be confused with 50 Cent Bulletproof, which sucks.
Yeah. This game had no right to be this good. It's one of the most fundamentally solid games I've ever seen for what's either a vanity project or a completely cynical piece of shit idea brought upon by a company out of ideas.
Which it is both.
And what is the premise?
Well, 50 Cent is playing a concert in
the Middle East.
The Middle East, let's say.
Of course.
And the promoter doesn't have his money.
But he does have a diamond-encrusted skull.
Mm-hmm. So instead of playing another, let's say, two-hour concert somewhere else, 50 risked life and limb to go after the blinged skull.
After it was stolen by terrorists believable plot twist.
Was this just a diamond-encrusted skull, or was it the diamond-encrusted skull?
No,
Damien Hirst.
It's a diamond-encrusted skull.
Okay. Yes. It's really good. I don't know. It's so fucking fundamentally solid.
It is
love
a pretty fun game.
It's amazing. Like, yeah. I did like that game, The Club, from a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But sort of like a very serious shooter with like points and combo systems.
Yeah.
And a lot of fun things to hide. You can buy taunts for him. And I wanted to get this taunt so bad. It's just 50 cursing. It has a profanity meter. The taunts, like, this one's really tough and this one's really profane. What the fuck, motherfucker? Just a Y button dedicated to saying, shit, it's on now. Like, it's that kind of awesome. It's that kind of awesome. 50 Cent blowing sand.
And I think it's sadly ironic that Bulletproof was a piece of shit that sold fantastically well.
Yeah.
And then this, like, when he was making the new game, when he announced, it's like, oh, I'm making a new game. Like, everybody was like, oh, God, not another one. And he's like, no, this time it's actually going to be really good. Like, I'm having my kid be a consultant on it. And everybody's like, oh, fuck.
That worked really well for George Lucas.
Yeah, and all my friends are in it.
Oh, yeah. But then it turned out to be good, and nobody fucking bought it. And it is, like, you can buy it for, like, $5,
That's the thing. I bought it new recently, and it's $29.99 still. So.
Wow.
That's surprising. I think I saw it at Target marked down to, like, $10 a while ago.
I was at GameStop.
We should get Fitty's kids to open their own development studio and create a whole franchise.
Yeah, that's true.
25 Cent.
How old are his kids?
42.
Yes, 42.
They are older than he is.
Fuck, it's already hot. As soon as we're done with this, I get to go on vacation. Number 6, Hannah Montana Music Jam. What was the deal with this game?
I remember playing it, actually, at like a pre-E3 thing. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was an actual E3 thing. It doesn't matter. But it was kind of a surprise because, okay, it's all pink and girly and it's Hannah Montana, but it's basically Rock Band for the DS before that was a thing.
Yeah.
And came with a really dumb peripheral.
Yeah, and you could, I think, record your own music using it, like record tracks with the different instruments.
Yeah, it was
and
like
you could also network several DSs.
I think I reviewed it.
Did you really?
Wow. I think you have the expert right here.
I don't know if you actually linked to it. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's this one. I reviewed a Hannah Montana game. So.
Well, I mean, if it involved playing music and like putting music together.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, well, it's half the game was this god-awful, like, you know, girl game where you go to the mall and, like, you know, talk to friends and shit. But then there's this other half where you never even had to touch the terrible half. You could just go through the menu to this music-making thing. So yeah, you could actually strum on the guitar with your stylus and record loops.
Oh wow.
And then you could play all the instruments. So there was a bass guitar, a guitar, and drums, and there's like a physical virtual drum set on the touch screen, and you could basically create any beat you want. You could do drum solos and then record it all together and basically make a full song.
I gotta say, that sounds like the best of both worlds.
It was kind of awesome. And yeah.
Why are you looking at me so mean? Yeah, I remember hearing about that for a brief second. Like, why does this not suck? And then we moved on to games that we knew wouldn't suck.
Hey.
What did you end up giving?
I gave it a 7.
The same score as a certain game you'll talk about in a second?
The old 7.
Oh, man.
Was it a real 7 or was it a chicken 7?
I'm new here and I'm afraid to give this...
It was... I'm reviewing two games in one package. I mean, like, one game was terrible and one was fantastic. So...
Speaking of, well, yeah,
although it was all considered one.
What was
game.
Your strap line?
I don't
make me look this up, man. Do you really want? I have to look this up now.
It better be the best of both worlds.
This is several years ago that I did this
music. Let's see if that works. How's our search? Oh, whatever, Charlie. We'll come back to that.
I found it.
What?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Loading.
that's my strap line.
Oh, here it is. You want to read? Maybe Matt should read it in his own voice.
I say Rock Band it ain't, but Jam it does.
that's not that embarrassing. Go down to the...
I felt kind of horrible giving this game a 7.
Go down to the You'll Love, You'll Hate.
This is a 3-page review.
Well, back when our pages were one paragraph
you
long.
You squoze 3 pages?
Oh, I gave it a 6, apparently.
Oh,
so there we go.
It's not better than Dead Island, then.
Okay.
So You'll Love... Matt, you should keep reading this.
I can't see.
So it's
from
appropriate
here.
That it's number 6 on this list.
Let's see. I said, you'll love being a one-person band, strumming the hours away, and not.
You should have said a one-man band because only men will play this game.
Right,
burly men.
That's true.
I don't know why I wrote person. That's funny. I was trying to be politically correct. And then not ever playing story mode. That's what you'll love doing. You'll hate the worthless music video editing mode, excruciatingly paced story, and weak minigames.
So, I just would have put Billy Ray Cyrus.
So, I love that you're complaining about the pacing of the story in a Hannah Montana DS game.
Yeah, the story wasn't the problem, just the pacing of the story. You're like, I want more Hannah Montana faster.
Well, no, because like I was looking at it from the perspective of a little girl. Like, even if a little girl was enjoying the story, it was horrendously paced, because you just like plotted like forever between stupid objectives.
But, Matt, how do you know that the TV show isn't excruciatingly paced? I mean, it could just be really accurate.
I have another question, which is how...
That's possible.
I don't want to talk about
it. What other reviews have you written from the perspective of a little girl?
I did another one, the iPad. Yeah.
Okay.
I reviewed that one from the perspective of a kid.
We should create you an alter ego, like Buttercup.
Yeah, you should have a little girl who's your alter ego.
Actually, that was from the perspective of little girl / wife.
You're saying is your wife is a little girl.
Yeah, I had her. I had her
to a little girl.
I had her
a 6-year-old in overalls.
Yeah,
because
I had her play the iPad and she was having a grand old time with it. So
you are
Carolyn and Cheryl loved it too.
All right, I'm
it's
hot.
Not, it's not just like my wife.
All right, we got five more fucking entries to go here.
Let me go on vacation.
All right, number five.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, that game's stupid.
I love the fuck out of
it's
that game.
It's really fun.
Yeah,
it's
especially
fun for a little bit.
He does make a good point that the earlier levels are much more fun than the later levels
because
the earlier levels you are hacking people to bits, and the later levels you're hacking robots to bits, which is never as interesting.
that's typical Marvel shittery.
Yeah.
And at first you're like in nice tropical outdoor jungle temple levels, and later on you're in big generic factories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just waiting for the Punisher game where you're just hitting robots. I'm so fucking sick of beating up robots in superhero games.
Actually, the Punisher is that rare exception that game was really violent, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody at Marvel was like, oh, this is too violent. We need to have him beating up robots.
I thought that would be like just a...
With purple blood.
It should be a medium-wide cliche for superhero games enough with the five robots that you beat up nonstop over and over again. These are superheroes
to
get a team
Spider-Man,
rating.
Robots. Superman, robots. Wolverine, robots.
To guarantee an
X-Men, robots.
Wasn't the Green Lantern fighting him, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Superman, all robots. Like, even the bosses are fucking robots.
I think Arkham Asylum is, like, the only game where a superhero never beats up a fucking robot.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, fucking stupid. Wait. All right, number four. This one... Yeah, I'll give it to it. Number four, Lego Star Wars. It was fucking... It was really awesome at the time. It was overwhelmingly charming.
I mean, that formula still works great. It's just we're tired of it.
Yeah,
it's just been kind of run into the ground.
But if you hadn't played Lego Star Wars and you just started with Harry Potter Lego now and you hadn't played the other ones, you'd still find it fun.
No, they still crack a smile. They're more fun with a significant other, which I can't speak from that perspective.
All right. All right.
You could play with...
That's what my vacation is for. Chris.
I think that's
play with Matt's child bride.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
or play with our new hires. That's what they're here for.
I did have a dream I got last night that I got blown by a 7-year-old. It was really weird.
Oh,
why would
God.
You share that?
Why
it was really weird.
Say that.
Well, maybe I'll get into it on another podcast. It was fucked up. It was crazy.
Yeah, no shit. You got blown by a 7-year-old.
It was. I was like, I was fighting it. At least
you,
look,
you
we'll get into
whether
it later.
It was a boy or girl.
Yeah, you didn't.
It's.
I'm not sure. I want to know.
Tune in next week
for the thrilling conclusion.
Yeah, I'm not
top
proud
seven.
Of the dream. My subconscious works in weird ways. Uh-huh. And then you came up and shot me.
Yep. Good.
And was the little boy or girl's name Bubbles?
No. His name was...
His, okay.
All right, good. I was just going to say Charlie Bear, but I'm bored of this. number three, Dark Void Zero. This game is really great. Probably, I don't know, I can't think of many other great things in the DSi where shop...
Yeah,
Dark Void.
But Dark Void was a pretty
oh, and that
dumb
Dark
game.
Void, the full game, is shitty, and sucks.
Yeah,
haven't there been other examples recently where the like DS game tried to be
Thor.
A platformer? Oh, that's right, Thor.
Thor, and I think a couple of Spider-Man games. Spider-Man games,
and the GBA TMNT. I'll just
oh
that
yeah, that's
there.
Right, that's right. The fucking DS one was I think we gave it a 2.
Yeah,
and the GBA one was pretty fun.
Yeah,
it's man, actually really good. Weird.
But yeah, Dark Void Zero is just a weird thing where it was like, Capcom's making a retro NES game based on this really shitty game, and it's going to be downloadable. And then it's actually really good. Really fucking hard, but really good.
And great music. I think Bear, what's his nuts? The guy who composed the music for the game in Battlestar Galactica.
McCreary?
Grylls?
It's, which one's the guy on the nature show?
Bear Grylls.
Okay.
Berenstain?
Maybe the one you said. But yeah, he I want to compose 8-bit music right now. And he composed all the music too. I thought that was a really cool factoid. Matt's looking at me like he needs more information. Or he wants something to entertain him. What?
Or he's stifling a fart. What?
What can I do, man?
You're talking about the DS and not the PC.
Okay, I see. Well, you can emulate
the other consoles. I just don't care about handhelds.
Boom. Yeah. Okay, how about number two? Just Cause 2. It's bookended by twos.
Awesome.
It's pretty crazy.
Can't argue that. I fucking love Just Cause
2. Does anybody know if it was a success or not? I think it was. I remember reading it was number one. It was number one in the UK. But that's... You know,
I hope it was a success.
That's sort of like being number six in America.
Yeah, it's just basically like the apex of what I think open world games can be. Mm-hmm. Just like we're just giving you this fucking gigantic playground. You can steal 747s if you want.
Yeah,
it's got cities, it's got jungles, it's got mountains.
Don't take physics too seriously. Just do whatever you can think of, and you probably won't die.
Yep.
Or if it looks like you're about to die, there'll be a way to save yourself.
And that grappling hook was fucking amazing. I really want to see more games use stuff like that.
Yeah, me too.
It was like, let's give you a tool that lets you fuck with physics.
Yeah, that was awesome. Like where you could attach it to a moving car and then attach it to the ground and it would just like yank the car off its axle.
Yeah, everybody comes up with that as like the first example, probably because it's one of the first things you can do.
Yeah.
But like it was useful for a lot more. Like you could use it to like,
tell me.
I've got a helicopter and I want to use this car as a wrecking ball. Mm-hmm. I'll tether the car to the helicopter, I'll take off. There's this plane taking off, and I want to fuck up this other plane's shit, so I'm going to tether the two of them, or tether this...
Tether two planes together?
Yeah, or tether this... that didn't always work. The tether would sometimes break.
Yeah.
Or, you know, tether this guard to the plane, and he'll get dragged along, or...
Well, a great one was tether a guard to a propane tank, and then shoot the propane tank, and it turns into a missile and carries him off.
Was fantastic.
We did that in our demo.
And you can jump on the missile and ride it.
Yeah, we
Or you could tether a guard to a tree and then shoot him like a pinata. You shoot pinatas, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually just saw this awesome YouTube video.
You would do that to yourself as well.
I think it was from the PC version, but someone did like a cheat where they got like unlimited ammo for the rocket launcher, and then they flew an airplane all the way up to the flight ceiling and jumped out and then fired like so many rocket launcher shots. And then like... landed, but you fall faster than the rockets shoot. So then he landed on a building and then turned around and it was like the big populated city. And then it was just Armageddon. Like just a million missiles came falling out of the sky, like blowing everything up. And it was beautiful.
That sounds awesome. Right, Charlie Bear?
Sure does.
This is another, what is this? I guess falls under the Square Enix umbrella at this point.
Yeah, it did when it came out.
Yeah, did it? I can't remember.
Are we still talking about number two?
Yeah. Number two. Now we're going to talk about number one, Charlie. It's
Batman. It's time for you to talk about something.
Batman Arkham Asylum. Arkham Asylum.
That's a good game.
Yeah. I think
it's pronounced Asylum.
Asylum.
Yeah.
I wish I had the scores to go back on, but man, the fucking Batman games had just
a
two-decade legacy of being terrible.
That really felt like this should be the number one, the epitome of the article.
I remember
the fact that they always sucked, and this game is our game of the year.
I remember misguidedly praising Batman Begins just because it's like, well, it's like the first Batman game that feels like playing Batman instead of just punching shit.
I never played that at all. Is there anything... It was fun to mine out of that we could do in the future?
No, probably. It was kind of a miserable game.
Are there cutscenes with not Gary Oldman and not Christian Bale?
Probably.
Oh, man. I'm
sure there are.
I forgot about that because I confused it. Was it Dark Tomorrow? Was that another Batman game?
That is a Batman game.
Yeah
like the GameCube one.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be like one of the worst games ever made.
So what was the best Batman game before Arkham Asylum?
Or Return of the Joker, whichever
one.
Yeah,
those were pretty good.
Batman.
And then I think like Rise of Sinzu was okay, but it was just a formulaic beat-em-up.
I remember liking Batman Returns on Super Nintendo. But
I liked it on Lynx, but it's just there's nothing special about it.
It was something, I just remember liking that it was snowing and that I could hit the two thugs' heads together.
And I love that level. They're all a bunch of clowns.
Yeah, and a little monkey grinder or organ grinder.
I always say I wanted to play an interactive cartoon, and the Batman and Robin games were admittedly pretty good at that, although, they don't stand as anything special nowadays. The Genesis and Super Nintendo, Sega CD, Batman and Robin games. The Adventures of Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I remember those.
But then beyond that history, Arkham Asylum was amazing.
Yeah, but we knew it was going to be amazing, didn't we?
But we didn't. We didn't at first. I mean, it was like when you first started hearing about what they were trying to do, like, that sounds really promising, but like you didn't want to believe in it too much because
that's true.
They said like, "Oh, we're going to try to." They were promising a lot, and you hear those things all the time when
and games, it was delayed. But I remember when someone finally got their hands on it, and it was like, "Fuck!"
Yeah, I think somebody finally played it and said, "Oh no, it did look pretty good." But even then, that I can't remember who it was. They were like, "It looks pretty good," but they weren't totally sold. And then I remember when I was playing it, when we had the review copy, and I was playing. I was telling you guys on the podcast, like I keep like waking up going like, "That game can't be real. It's too good to be true." Mm-hmm. Even that didn't seem believable. That could be that good.
It's one of my favorite combat systems, like of all time. Like that just comes down to like genuine skill and timing.
Yep.
I could just play with that shit forever. I really like the combat system.
And I still feel like I haven't played all the superhero games that you guys have, but it still feels to me like the game that best captures the superhero.
Yes, of being a detective. And
I know Spider-Man. I know there's lots of games where he swings around in a city, but I feel like There still has to be a Spider-Man game that can be better than what's been out before.
It's positively incredible. Matt, do you have an Arkham Asylum past, or you haven't done it yet?
No. I mean, just to kind of say that I agree with you about the combat. I mean, like I actually get bored with a lot of beat-em-up games when they like I go, oh god, another fight. You know, it's going to take me 10 minutes to kill all these guys. Mm-hmm. But like Arkham Asylum was the first game, and I can remember where it was like, oh shit, another fight!
Yeah,
I was so excited. There were never enough fights.
There were like, never
I
enough wanted fights. More, that's they had the combat challenge rooms, which I would normally never use, except like I couldn't get enough. There's just aren't enough people to hit.
Yeah,
I had to dodge too many things.
Did you ever play as the Joker on the PS3?
No, version? I never did.
Oh, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. Joker is surprisingly adept at hand-to-hand combat.
Ooh, is he a little quicker?
No, it's just sort of weird because he's this really rail thin dude, and he's just beating the shit out of these burly guards.
But the gameplay definitely looked different. Like how he would beat them up was totally different. Oh, yeah, and he had little gadgets,
And there were moves he had that was like, oh, that's not survivable. Like he just twist necks and shit like that.
Oh, and let's not forget Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill, as the voices. Mm-hmm. They were more than that. I know Harley Quinn had the same voice of the Batman the Animated Series. And that to me is like, no offense to Bale and Ledger, but those are like my favorite Batman and Joker.
But they seem to be moving away a little bit from that in the sequel, because I know that they replaced Harley Quinn and Mr. Freeze is not the animated series Mr. Freeze.
Aww. Why is it that hard?
And I think
is he Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I don't think Talia al Ghul is either.
Chill out!
Because she's the lady from Castle.
Castle?
That's right. That's that show that's got... what's his face? Nathan Fillion all busy instead of doing cool stuff.
Yes. All right, that's the
middle-aged woman half of his fan base.
Yeah, he's working for that side right now.
I wish I had.
Well, the other side isn't giving him steady work. What do you expect?
I wish I had more sound for the Ninth People.
Is that it? Is that the end of Talk Radar?
That is the end of Talk Radar. Oh, yay. Even the sound effects I put here aren't working.
Woo-hoo. Oh, God.
This is getting stupid.
I do miss the Brock sound effect.
Just make your own sound effects.
Let me get back more plugs and stuff and reviews and shit. We're going to have to leave the door open.
Yep.
And hopefully you guys will stand by. This is a little bit of a weird podcast, but hopefully I'll get my computer back.
Not just because it's our first Brett-free podcast.
Oh, fuck Brett. I've done this enough with that. I was having you have it all.
Well, not our first Brett. Speaking of. Hydraulics, I can't call it, I got the swirl like alcohol. Late my freshman year, I was going through hella problems. Still I bit up the nerve to drop my ass about a call. Late my teacher said I was a loser, I told her why don't you kid me. I give a fuck if you feel me, I'm gonna follow my heart. And if you follow the charts or the plaques or the stacks, you gotta guess who's back, you see. I'm so shy that you thought I was bashful, but this bastard's flow will bash your skull. And I will cut your girl like past the truth. This is Frank Shamrock, undefeated Ultimate Fighting Champion. You're listening to Talk Radar on GamesRadar.com.
The iTunes reviews are in.
Ooh. Wishart says,
a wonderfully pungent gaming cluster shard.
Kyrian BC says,
spawned from the heavens, absolute brilliance on so many levels.
Melzul says,
pants crappingly hilarious.
And GameDad says,
the constant belching and F-bombs make the podcast feel immature.
Get over here!
Talk Radar for the win.
I'm holding on for a hero.
Talk Radar. This show am good.
I've got my pistol pawn cup. Ready to link shots non-stop until I see your monkey ass drop. And let your homies know who done it. Cause when it comes to this gangster shit, you motherfuckers know who run it. So when you put this motherfucker to the test, you gotta realize something, nigga.
You fucking with the very best.
I've got this killer up inside of me. I can't talk to my mother, so I talk to my diary. I'm going off on the
Talk Radar.
Your vacation can wait, Chris.
177, segment 2. This is, so as you know, we're sponsored by this guy, and I'm sorry for my file folder noises. I had actually reached out because he had offered our buddy, the super Boston Ted Rossi, to do a Disgaea 4 copy read. And yes, it's super Boston-y to the point of mispronouncing the game's name. But we're going to use it anyway because 2 callouts per show, Ted Rossi.
Talk Radar is sponsored by Disgaea 4, A Promise Unforgotten. Takes the niche netherworld comedy RPG series to the political arena. Campaign, run in the eve election, declare your manifesto as you battle your way to power in the latest installment of the Disgaea series. I'm excited.
Is that some Dropkick Murphys?
Thank you. Well, it's just the Boston song now. Yeah. And it's more of a parody. Like, I've asked everybody in the office, they've seen the Madden 12 commercials. It's Ben Affleck doing a read in his super Boston accent with the Dropkick Murphys kicking in. Anyway, Ted Rossi was kind enough. Well, that's the thank you to Disgaea 4, our sponsor. We're all big Disgaea fans here. Yeah, Ted Rossi even included some bonus sound effects.
What are you, retarded?
Yes, more Boston. We'll space them out because I don't have anything else prepared.
You didn't say Wicked?
I should have said Wicked. Teddy, that was your fault. You're bad. But does anybody know the Game Deal song by heart?
Something about Rainy Day?
If I was Henry, I would say it was
take my advice, do as I say, save a little money for a rainy day.
What are you buying?
I do have that. Fuck it.
Oh, that's a great sign.
I had to look it up elsewhere. Amazon, they were doing Disney game deals, but now it's not even a deal. It's just free. If you buy Epic Mickey for $29.99 at Amazon, you will get any of the following Disney games for absolutely free with zero shipping. Guilty Party, Toy Story 3, Cars 2, Mater's Tall Tales, Club Penguin, Disney Sing It. So basically Toy Story 3 if you have a Wii. Also on Amazon, there is a buy one, get one half off sale with a bunch of good Wii games. The Galaxies, the Punch-Outs, the Super Paper Mario, but they've also got Fallout New Vegas on the list. Grand Theft Auto 4.
Wii?
No. and a bunch of other. Look at that. There's Enslaved, and it's all, everything's like $19.99. I just see Plants vs. Zombies here, but that heads us into PlayStation Plus members this week get Plants vs. Zombies for free, as well as Altered Beast.
You know what else PlayStation Plus members and everyone else on PSN gets?
What's that?
The Assassin's Creed Revelations multiplayer beta.
What? Really? They scored it again? Hopefully it won't be such a controversy.
They scored it again?
Yeah, they had the beta last time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so.
There you go.
Nice.
Dead Island, we'll get into that in a second, Maddie. $49.99 with free shipping at Newegg. And Resistance 3 is also the same price. Don't get too excited yet, Matt A. I think that's all I have for game deals. You want to take my advice? Do it. No, it's going to join me, so I'm ending this now. anywho, God, what a terrible show. Bunch of reviews that went down this week. Maddie, you were involved with a lot of them.
We can Dead talk Island. About all of them.
Dead Island.
We talk about
Dead
all of them at the same
Tell us about
time.
Dead
simultaneously.
Island.
Dead Island. I'm happy to have this game like just out of my hair.
Right.
Anything you want to say on the subject of Dead
Anything
Island?
At all.
Dead Island.
Dead Island.
Is the island Go. Dead?
It was one of the hardest reviews I've written because I love the game, but it's difficult to love.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so buggy and unfinished.
Yeah, like nothing they could fix in a patch or anything
well,
like that.
Well, they have a day one patch that they already released, but it didn't fix the main problems that I had with the
what
game.
Was that? Because we loaded up to FAPIT.
It seemed to run okay.
Well, one, you said, like, so glad we're FAPITing this. I can't wait to play more of this game.
Right.
And that was interesting. It's fun. And then you immediately loaded up and got stuck in the environment, and we had to start over.
That is true. I probably could have gotten out of there, but it wasn't easy.
I don't know if that counts as a bug so much as it counts as kind of poor design. Like, if there are places in the world where you can get hung up like that, or you can just like, I drop down into this little incline and it tapers down into a point so I can't actually jump out, but I just sort of bounce up and down there.
The funny thing is that's the first time that happened to me in 30 hours of playing that game. Yeah.
What bugs are you talking about?
So for one of the main ones is that, so my character that I chose is the throwing expert. So you throw your weapons into the zombies and then you pick up the weapons again. So it is fairly common for your weapons to get stuck under the world. Like, you throw a weapon, it gets stuck under the world. You can see the weapon, and you cannot pick it up again.
But
this could be a rare, epic quality weapon that you spent, like, $30,000 upgrading.
And your weapons are all rare in the game, right? So that's...
They're not all rare. What do you mean?
But they're short in supply.
Not really, but if you... I mean, the thing is, you get weapons everywhere, but if you upgrade them... Mm-hmm. I mean, you spend a bunch of money upgrading this thing. How often do you expect to lose things that you spent money upgrading? That doesn't happen in most games.
Mm.
You know, and then, I mean, like, one of the times, like, I had this shotgun and I saved up all this money to, like, purchase this upgrade that turned into, like, a shocking shotgun. And then, like, the moment I upgraded it, it disappeared from my inventory and was just gone.
That's somewhat inexcusable.
And then there's the part where you get stuck where it's almost unbeatable.
Really?
For everybody.
Yeah?
But the patch does a sort of workaround Band-Aid fix. It doesn't actually fix the problem. Mm-hmm. It just weakens the enemies so that hopefully you won't get stuck at that part. But the problem is that, like, there's all these zombies that swarm this guy that you're escorting. Mm-hmm. And every time that guy dies... It, like, loads your save to right before he got swarmed, except all your weapons have degraded or been lost, and they save.
In the previous battle.
Yeah. And then it's a war of attrition where you actually get less and less likely with each respawn that you can possibly get past it until it's literally impossible. Although I got past it by exploiting the system.
How's that?
Well, it's that, like, I figured out that if I didn't move at all right after I spawned and just threw all my weapons at this one zombie, like, without moving, I didn't trigger the other zombies, so I was able to barely get past it. Mm-hmm. But other people that I know that got stuck there, they actually had to get someone to come join their game.
Wow.
Because that wasn't beatable for them solo.
But it is four-player co-op.
It is.
I don't know much about the game. What about Resistance 3? Is that four-player co-op?
No,
there is
two-player co-op.
Oh,
so how do they work that into the story?
I guess you always have this guy with you. It's like an AI guy. Otherwise,
really?
Yeah. Huh. I'm not remembering that right. No. Maybe there isn't that guy, but he is a character. He's a character in the single-player game. You see him. Maybe you just see him occasionally or something.
Maybe, because I'm thinking, like, the bits where it's just you and Professor What's-His-Face.
Right. Yeah.
Or does the second player just play whatever secondary character is along with you at the time?
No, it is... I think they do add in this character who isn't there in the single player, but the cool part is, because I did play the co-op, like, they changed the lines of dialogue to address that. Like, they'll talk to both of you. And
so it's not just, like, Halo 2, where it's like, okay, now there's one Master Chief, now there's... two Master Chiefs.
Right. Like, the other guy has his own name. He's a different character. So, but it's different from Resistance 2, because Resistance 2 had the specialized co-op mode, which was its own thing.
It was separate from the
campaign.
It was
a separate little kind of campaign thing, and it was also up to 8 players. Yeah.
It wasn't completely out of my mind. I did remember something like that from Resistance 2.
It kind of had its own variation on Horde mode that was a little bit more campaign-y.
There are two things that they kind of took away that I'm sure a lot of people liked from Resistance 2, which is that, and then also the 60-man multiplayer. Like, now it's just back to 16-player maps. Wow,
what are the odds?
But I had more fun playing. I had more fun playing Resistance 3's multiplayer than I did with Resistance 2 or 1.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Yeah.
And it's like what I said in the review is I think most people won't care that the 60-man thing is gone because it's just the core of it is
you know that out there are like hardcore players who are like, but I have a 60-man clan
right.
specifically to play this game.
Yeah,
I remember
some people
try
will
and
have
load that up
a
bunch and you know it was very hard to get 60 people in a server at any given time. Like it never really worked.
Right.
Mm.
Well, obviously I'm sure that the devs, you know, they looked at all the statistics and it probably wasn't worth including because not that
Wanna
many
know
people
why?
Took advantage
not
of it.
Not divisible by 8. All multiplayer player counts must be divisible by 8 at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Unless it's 4.
Right.
Yes. I remember at PAX, I asked the creative director, like, so have you incorporated any feedback from fans into this? And what I really wanted to ask was, so everyone thought Resistance 2 sucked. What are you doing to make this better?
Right.
Was that the consensus that it sucked?
Yeah, I liked it.
A lot of people. Like, I remember reading an article about how Insomniac was kind of taken aback from the reaction from fans. It's like, and I saw people saying, like, well, it's one thing when critics don't like it because we're prepared for that. But when fans don't like it, that means we failed.
Yeah. Mm. I understand why fans didn't like it, but I still really liked it. But that's one of the things they fixed. So the second one only let you carry 2 guns. The new one lets you carry a shit ton like they did before. But one thing I like that the new Resistance does is there's no regenerating health, which I really
like. Why do you like that?
Because I'm fucking sick of it in modern shooters.
But
it's like,
why?
Because it makes you play tactically. Like instead of just going, oh, I can poke out of cover, get shot a million times and at the last second just go back and all my stupid mistakes have been erased. It's more like, well, I better think before I just go running out there trying to shoot guys.
But can't you say the same about 2 guns? I mean, I have 2 guns. I have to think really carefully about which guns I'm carrying. Because...
Oh, burn.
Stuff.
Boys. Well. Set of boys. Boys. Boys.
Well, I didn't hate the 2 guns thing. I wasn't one of those people that hated it, but I mean, when I got the huge group of guns, I was like happy.
Yeah.
So I don't despise regenerating health, but I found it refreshing. It was different. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, oh, this not that again, you know, it's like a little different.
Yeah, no your health meter wasn't retinal damage.
Right.
Finally. I don't know. I'm a little tired of that too.
Yeah.
I can handle it. I'm not gonna play Resistance. What score did you give it?
I gave it a 9.
A 9! Holy
shit. I haven't played Resistance 1 or Resistance 2, but it sounds like from what I'm hearing that even if you haven't played those two, you should play Resistance 3.
Yes.
Yeah, and you don't have to play the others to play this one.
Awesome.
That's true.
But the first one's
it
really
does give
good
you a
too.
Recap at the beginning.
The first one was a little boring. I played it like a year or two ago.
Yeah, how far did you play into it?
Not very far.
See, that's the problem. The game, all of the Resistance games get increasingly interesting as you go through the levels. Like, especially Resistance 1 feels like a generic World War II shooter with aliens shoehorned into it.
Definitely do.
But if you get past the first few hours, it doesn't feel like that at all.
Mm. What does it feel like?
It feels like an awesome sci-fi shooter where you're running around in gigantic alien complexes with crazy super creative weaponry.
Halo?
No.
Uh-oh.
Duke Nukem?
No.
So it goes from black. It goes
it's
from
also scary though. It's kind Call of partially of a horror
like,
game.
It's like Fear then is what you're saying.
No. I compared it to Fear actually in my
Fear
review.
Fear 3, yeah, I saw that.
Is it's Resistance funny 3 better than Halo Reach?
I don't know. I've only played like an hour of Halo Reach.
Yes.
And it bored me to death. Scores.
I guess that's a yes.
I'm kind of on the same boat.
It's only so far you can go with guys in pastel armor, Charlie. I'm sorry. You're going to have to find another beat.
I know.
Though I was very pleased to see a Halo Reach Pink Spartan action figure on the rack at Rite Aid a while ago.
Ooh, at Rite Aid?
Huh?
At Rite Aid, no less. How much was it going for?
I don't know. I wasn't going to buy it. It's like, Pink Spartan. It's kind of cool. They're catering to everybody.
Blues
that's
Clues
awesome.
DVD prices.
What were you buying at the Rite Aid, Michael?
Filter masks.
Salmonella proofing?
Yeah.
Let's talk about pharmacies more.
No, let's talk about... Is there anything more in Resistance?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I really did like what I played. If you want a second opinion, I've got up to the St. Louis level in the
the boat
preview demo. After the boat.
Okay.
After you go through the train yard and you meet up with the other resistance group, and just before you meet their leader.
Wait, I forgot that part took place in St. Louis. What happens in St. Louis?
You know, everybody talks about how much St. Louis sucks. Yeah. You don't actually see much of it.
Yeah, you get to pull up just in time to watch the Cardinals
lose. The whole thing is basically just like a colossal, like 5,000-foot-tall chimera, like squatting and taking a dump on the city.
Mm-hmm. Does Nelly make an appearance?
And everyone says, boy, we're glad that's gone.
Yeah, just before he gets buried.
The chimera wears a Band-Aid under his eye and mocks him mercilessly.
Yeah.
What about John Goodman? Does he make an appearance?
So hard to tell. I mean,
he like comes by on a hovercraft and he's like, I'm too good for this city, and he leaves.
I couldn't tell.
John Goodman is a voice in Rage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's one of the main side
characters. That's a big step up from King Mattress.
Are you sure he's a voice
Pissed.
Actor? I heard he just starred as an Eclipse. That's because he's fat.
Oh,
man. I was going to make a fat joke.
Because he's fat. Dang. See what I'm saying?
That's pretty clever.
This cast is on fire. We should
do you want me to list who else is from St. Louis? Well, since you
please.
Do you want to fill time?
Yes, let's fill time.
John Goodman.
Uh-huh.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Because not enough stuff came out this week.
Nelly. John Madman.
You already said Nelly.
Mad Men's John Hamm.
John Hamm, he's dreamy.
Oh, man.
John Goodman.
I always keep a roll of John Hamm's John Hamm by my John.
John Hamm.
Comma Hamm.
My God, you're out already.
I'm out already.
Yeah, wow. That's fascinating.
But you're not from St. Louis anyway. What the fuck do you care?
I live near St. Louis. My family does, and I'm a St. Louis sports fan. I fly into the St. Louis airport, and I eat at St. Louis restaurants.
You're one of
those people that's from a small town and then claims to be from the cool big town.
No.
So that chimera I mentioned earlier wipes his ass with the Cardinals. Like the entire team. Just
all
picks them up in one
or
hand. Yes. No, they all fit in one hand, and he somehow wipes his ass with them.
Yes. And then he hurls like the crumpled ball of refuse and paper like right over the horizon, and there's a little prompt at the bottom that tells you the Barrett's house was destroyed.
This what year?
But
this
nobody cared because it was in some nothing little town.
It's true.
What year does this take place?
1957, I think.
So the Barretts don't live there yet. So your whole logic is false.
It's an alternate history, Charlie.
It's an alternate history. The Barretts were there early. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were born.
I was. Twice. So I was. Twice, and I was destroyed by the toilet paper.
Yep. Yes, sure.
Yes, I forgot where we were.
St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis. Yes, the land of opportunity. Right.
Yes.
Tennessee Williams.
The Golden Gate.
There.
The Big Banana.
The Gateway to the West.
The Golden State of Opportunity.
And that's California.
All right.
The Hoosier State.
Yes.
Sure. Whatever. Let's move on.
The Sunshine
Jesus
Village.
Christ.
Let's Blood check Rain in with Betrayal. Let's
check in with Ted Rossi. What do you think about the St. Louis Ted Rossi?
Queer.
All right.
We don't use that language in St. Louis because we're respectful.
Uh-huh. He said quail. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I thought of another famous person from St. Louis.
Who's that?
Stagger Lee.
Oh, I was
Brett Elston.
I was going to say Hitler.
No.
Right. Let's keep going.
Okay.
If Hitler bombs, this isn't going to get any better. Bloodline Betrayal.
Yes,
review.
Bloodline.
What did I say?
Bloodline.
Oh, whatever. I was thinking of Hellraiser.
Oh, Akon.
What?
I'll be interjecting throughout the rest of the podcast.
All right. Blood Rain.
Sort of why you're here, but
Blood Rain's from.
No, it's just St.
Louis.
True,
actually.
Okay. What's happening?
Blood Rain's from St. Louis.
Blood Rain takes place in St. Louis.
Oh, cool.
And what? Like a giant clock tower?
No. It's in an underground castle that then is not underground.
Oh man.
Oh. Is it upside down as well? Did they steal that from Castlevania 2?
Does it move?
It may have, but I couldn't get that far.
Because you suck at games, man.
Totally.
Your score varies wildly from the other reviews.
Yeah.
Just say your St. Louis trivia.
Scott Bakula.
I'm sold.
See, now you're impressed.
Yeah, your score is almost as widely varied as our Driver San Francisco score is.
Really?
I think we're like one of the two highest for.
Actually, I discovered our new guy we just hired wrote also a review for Blood Rain Betrayal, and he gave it the same score as me.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Whereas other sides,
that means we're
going
both
like.
Right.
And then
nines?
We both talked about how much it infuriated us when we were playing.
Did you bond? Would you say
maybe? We'll have to see.
I did. I heard music.
In the future.
Well, someday, years from now, when you guys are best friends, you'll look back at that moment. So that's when we began bonding.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Ooh. Looks like it significantly outscored the PlayStation console by Disgaea 4, Promise Unforgotten, which is bringing to you operator today. Yeah.
I'm really interested in that game. Tell me
that's
more.
That's true. I wish there was a website to go to. Google. Google. Look and then type in Disgaea 4. Good luck with the spelling. Yes. Anyway, Bloodline Betrayed. I was trying to look it up on Metacritic.
D-I-S-G-A-E-A.
Yeah, I went into great detail explaining specifically why I didn't like the game, not because it was hard, but because it was hard in the wrong ways. But I just know that people are still going to say, oh, you just sucked at it, and you don't like games that are hard, which isn't true.
What the fuck is this game called?
Blood Rain Betrayal.
Blood Rain. I said Blood Rain.
Yeah. All I got to say is try to play a 2D platformer with Luigi from Super Mario Galaxy. Because you have to jump across tiny little platforms in a certain amount of time, and your character will randomly slide off the platforms and die instantly.
What you showed me was infuriating. Like it seemed to have a jump mechanic that wasn't built for several portions of the platform.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Or like you have to do these wall jumps through saw blades. And this game, I noticed, I think is trying to take a cue from Super Meat Boy a little bit. But they didn't understand that Super Meat Boy could get away with what it did because the controls were so precise.
So precise.
And these are not precise. It's this wall jump worked. Oh, next time it didn't work, even though I did the exact same control inputs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It did get a bunch. It did get, look at that. I see an IGN joystick, a nine from those two established.
Hey, like I said in the review, if you're an ultra masochist and you love a game to just beat you horrendously in unfair ways, even, then maybe you'll like it that much and give it a 9. I mean, it's possible. I like hard games that play fair, like Demon's Souls, which plays fair, even though it's ridiculously hard.
I think Super Meat Boy is a good example.
Yeah, it plays fair also.
It's difficult, but I know everything that I do wrong is my fault. It's not the game's fault.
Right.
I failed to do something.
I also talked about there's a point in Blood Rain where you have to jump from one tiny platform to the next, and it's situated in a way that you have to jump off the top of the screen so you can't see yourself and you can't judge how far you need to jump to land on the next platform. Just little examples like that of how it's not just hard. It's just
fantastic.
Well, yeah, it's annoying.
You were right on par with just about everybody. And Brett usually does the Metacritic overview. But I do love these. You were on par with just about everybody else with the Dead Island score.
Right.
And Edge Magazine.
A three.
And says the world doesn't have the charm to warrant forgiveness. And progress halting bugs prevent it anyway. With regular AI freezes, vanishing items, mistimed autosaves that can prove fatal. Yeah.
They are right about that. Although I was curious, so I read their review and I don't understand where they're coming from at certain points. Like they talk about how your kick move like is totally unreliable, but it was like my go-to move in everything, and it was always reliable.
You can watch our FAP. You kick that shit pretty frequently.
Yeah, it was never a problem for me. Huh. So I don't know what they're talking about.
Nah, we're taking it to task, Edge. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot what we were talking about.
We were talking about Blood Rain.
Blood Rain. Is this the triumphant turn we all wanted from Blood Rain? I know we all missed the series dearly.
Oh, yeah. We missed it terribly. Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is so well timed with the upcoming Uwe Boll movie.
Is he going to complete the trilogy?
I think he is. And this one, Blood Rain, is finally going to fight Nazis, so therefore it's good.
What? It didn't fight Nazis in the first
one? No! Fought fucking vampires and monks and shit.
The second one was the Old West.
There aren't any Nazis in Blood Rain Betrayal either.
No, there were Nazis in the first game. Mm-hmm. And right. Possibly the second one. I never played the second one. But that was the whole point. It's like, it's about a sexy vampire fighting Nazis. How do you fuck that up, Uwe Boll? Why would you make it medieval?
Well, exactly. He also made House of the Dead about a rave on an island.
That's true.
With no house.
So,
that's wonderful. He replaced house with bullet time. Every character got it in that one sequence. It's awesome. It takes like 3 minutes.
And then they replay it in fast motion.
Yes. Okay. You want to speak so badly, Michael?
Yes, I do.
Ico Shadow of the Colossus.
It's Ico, motherfucker.
Ico. I'm not from Japan.
Yeah, you are.
I am not.
You are too.
No, I'm from the Bronx.
Can tell by the accent.
From Boston.
From the Bronx.
Wow, where did my accent go? Jesus
Christ.
Know
how, you know, you can tell I'm from Boston?
With duly appointed federal marshals.
Yeah. Thank you.
EcoShare of the Colossus collection does not actually come out till September 27th.
Oh, my.
But the review embargo's up this week. And at present time, I'm kind of debating what score to give it because it's actually, I mean, the games are both two easy tens.
Yeah.
Like this is, if you, especially if you haven't played this game, you need to buy it. The games are both fucking amazing. They look pretty good. The problem is that the collection, I mean, if there was a collection where you could add some extras, I think this is it, mm-hmm. and there isn't really anything extra for fans to find on the disc, at least.
Really?
I haven't found anything. It's just the
not
two games.
Not even unlockable art?
Well, if you count the selection screen at the beginning, but Jesus. No, not really. And then the... Like, I know that one of the big reasons that I and, like, a lot of people I've talked to have been waiting for Shadow of the Colossus to come out on PS3 mm-hmm. is because when it was released, it was kind of a, why didn't you guys just wait and release this on PS3 in the first place? And it had all these kind of, these performance problems, like it would stutter, there would be a lot of pop-in, and it runs pretty smoothly, but there's still pop-in. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll be riding along, and all of a sudden there'll be, like, a really huge texture, and it'll just, you know, shrink down onto whatever it's supposed to be, and it's just sort of weird, and I just think, like, this is a 6-year-old game? You've been doing this conversion, like, forever.
Yeah.
And there's still these little flaws, so.
I made the side-by-side comparison video, and it was definitely reduced, mm-hmm. the pop-in, but yeah, you're right, it wasn't totally gone.
And then there's the issue of a lot of the textures, especially in the environments, especially the rock textures, they look really kind of blurry and low res.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm kind of willing to let slide just because it's one of those things where the games have a very sort of soft focus, ethereal look to mm-hmm. them. And I think if everything stood out really sharply, it would kind of detract from that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just sort of an odd design decision. It's like, this looks like a big blurry texture.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not perfect, but the games are fucking amazing, and you need to buy them.
Yeah. Is it going at, like, a $39.99 price, like a Sly Cooper collection or anything
I
like that?
I believe so, yes.
Whatever, that's a fucking steal anyway.
Yeah,
regardless.
It is.
Because I noticed something in the side-by-side comparison, like, the aspect ratio opened up, and there was stuff that didn't exist in the PS2 version. So.
Well, like 3D. There's 3D in it. For those
oh no, not 3D, 3D, but like since it's totally widescreen, like you mm-hmm. can see these from these two screens, there are, let's say a rectangle of trees that you didn't see in the PS2 one. Whether they had drawn those in the game, like you've never seen them before, but there's more of the
of trees.
I'm just trying to. The aspect ratios are different,
right?
And there's more to the environment. So if they went out to the trouble to like redraw things to better fit. A modern aspect ratio, like why not? I don't know. Why not go in and fix a little pop in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the games play exactly the same, mm-hmm. which is weird. Those games actually take a little bit of getting used to. Like mm-hmm. I'd forgotten. Like Shadow of the Colossus is fucking fantastic. Fantastic. I'd forgotten how frustrating it could be.
Oh, it is.
Like so many times, like you will spend like half an hour trying to figure out how to climb up a colossus, and then you do it, and you get up there. And by the time you get to its weak point, your grip meter goes away and you fall back down to the ground and you're back to square one.
Yep.
And you're like, fuck. And like, why isn't there a fast way back up? I've been spoiled by modern video games.
Yeah.
I felt that way when I was playing it the first time, though.
Yeah.
That game drove me crazy a little bit.
I did, kind of
part of its charm.
Well, no, I mean, I'm actually not criticizing the game. It's kind of weird. I mean, I love that game.
Yeah.
I'm criticizing it, but I'm saying, like, you know, I'm not saying, oh, fuck that game. I'm saying,
I played a lot of Shadow of the Colossus, and it's just one of those games, like, there's not another control scheme in the world like it, so there's...
Yeah, well, except for Ecos.
With so many games, like, I can just pick it up and start playing it, but, like, man, that took some fucking getting used to, like, jumping back into Shadow of the Colossus. Mm. It was
Well, also, like, you know, my wife was watching me play, and, like, the first thing she asked was, why are you running like such a spaz? It's like the animation in those, both of those games is kind of strange. Like, well, like, Wander in Shadow of the Colossus, he, like, he runs, when he's running, he just, like, flaps his arms, like, out to the side, like, like, he's really going for it. And Ico's just kind of, there's something oddly stiff about him. It's just kind of strange. I mean, you get used to it, but...
So which game do you prefer personally?
Shadow. Easy.
Even now?
Yeah, even now. Like, I'm probably midway through Ico right now, and I still like Shadow better. Like, Ico's a really great game, but if I had to choose, I'd choose Shadow. And Shadow is, like, the one that's the one I was waiting for. That's the one I played first. And it's chronologically first, if you believe me, speculate. I don't know if it has it ever been confirmed that Shadow's a sequel or a prequel to Ico?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Don't listen.
Probably.
Don't listen to me.
We should ask Brett. You'll know.
No, what I'd really like to do, and not because I didn't have time to get in the thread and look at people's well wishes. I don't know if we did a question of the week. I totally forgot. We just sort of flew in. I'm tired. Like, I've been wearing these pants, I think, for 7 days straight, and it, like, right now they're just starting to feel like clingy mud and dirt.
You took them off at night, I'm assuming.
Because of this, I've just been, like, getting nude as much as possible. Like, when we would have a break between, like, Call of Duty and being in our hotel room, I just stripped down to nothing because I brought one pair of pants and didn't realize I'd be sliding around in dirt and mud during the paintball tournament and had two more days to go in these pants.
Oh, so you're wearing... Oh, your pants have been through paintball?
Oh, it wasn't mud, but it was dust, but it was, like, Old West dust where I had to, like, take my pants to the window and beat the dust at them. It was awesome.
It's probably full of horse manure part
no.
of
it. No!
Sprung for the hotel laundry service.
No, did they have that?
I think so, and they had the bags.
Man.
Like, just take these fucking jeans and clean them. Standing here in my underwear, the housekeepers are used to saying that.
Please watch that video if you can. We're trying to show you everything, a bunch of cool shit in the coolest way possible. I do a bunch of silly shit. It's a very difficult video to put together, and it's coming a week after the event. So, do me a favor and watch this shit, right, kids? Thank you.
One more thing, buddy. Oh, Shadow of the Colossus. The save system is still the same one it had on the PS2. So it takes, like, every time you tell it to save, it takes, like, 5 or 6 seconds to think about it, like it's trying to access a memory card. And then it gives you, like, I think 10 save slots in Ico and, like, 12 in Shadow. And it's exactly the same as how it was on PS2. And that's another thing. It's like, I kind of want to just, you know, have everything... Like, I want to be able to save at every single point in Shadow of the Colossus so I can go back to any of those colossi at any time without, you know, doing time attack or reminisce mode.
Yeah.
You should play it on a PC if you want to do that.
Why? Why would I ever do that to myself?
I don't know. Just a thing to say.
I'm just going to shake my head slowly while maintaining eye contact.
As long as you tell the listeners that you're shaking your head.
I will, because otherwise it's just a visual thing and I won't get that.
We need Henry here to sing a song.
Chris, you're so bored.
I'm not bored.
You're so bored. Holy shit.
You know what that reminds me of?
It's like,
I never saw it, but did you ever see that Adam Sandler movie, Rain Over Me?
I did.
The 9/11
I remember
movie?
I did.
Yeah, so you know, he plays Shadow of the Colossus, but, you know, it's supposed to be symbolic of him trying to deal with 9/11 because, you know, they're giant colossi that fall over so when you kill them.
Does he fly planes into the Colossus?
No. Yes. Well... But the hilarious part is, like, people talked about how that was great and symbolic, but actually the director just wanted him to play some, like, you know, sci-fi shooter that had no meaning whatsoever. And then, like, somebody in the crew was like, wait a minute, what if he played Shadow of the Colossus? That would be cool. And then they put it in there, and then I saw a clip, and then Adam Sandler's like, and his friend comes in, what are you playing? He goes, Shadows of the Colossus. That made it all the way into the final movie.
Well, his character was...
What are you, retarded?
Yes, yeah. That was in character. He knew the proper title.
Oh, no. Okay.
Of course.
He's a method actor.
It's like George W. Bush saying internets.
Yeah, he was playing a character.
Or the Google.
It's a plural of a thing that is singular.
He was playing the character of a really dumb president.
Yeah.
Well, if there's multiple colossuses, it stands to reason there'd be many shadows.
What is that character?
I don't know. I'm the correcty pants.
Maybe you should invent a new character right now. That spices things up.
Let's all invent a new character right now.
I don't do
Charlie, I'd love to speak in a different voice that isn't Charlie just once.
I can't do this.
Do Dane Cook. You do a great Dane Cook.
I don't know who Dane Cook is.
All right. Charlie, you got nothing?
I don't.
So your new character, Charlie, is the fucking liar.
Yes.
I'm lying right now.
Uh-huh. I know. Every time you get home, you put on a black wife beater and just like, in your mirror. I apologize to Dane Cook. I know he listens.
Really?
He does. Yes, I steal his jokes. Nat, character. Let's do this.
Give me something. Give me an idea.
Workshop something. Here. How about
anti-Semitism?
No.
What? That's not a character.
It's an idea.
Oh, I see.
Hi, kids. I'm anti-Semitism. anti-Semitism. A-U-N-T-I-E.
Yes, you can be anti-Semitism.
Hi, kids. Ow, I'm anti-Semitism.
I'm anti-Semitism.
Anti-O-I-E.
My husband, Uncle Jew hater.
Let's give Matt a different idea for a character.
Okay, different idea for a character.
Something else.
What's the one we're always talking about? Like caveman game reviewer or something like that?
How about he could do his new alter ego, the little girl perspective?
Yes.
Little girl. Oh, okay.
Please.
Review, which game, one of the games you just reviewed. Resistance 3.
I thought Blood Rain was stupid because the girl had really big boobs.
I'm not convinced.
And
try harder.
That's no way for a little girl to talk.
It isn't?
No. No.
How should she talk?
Stay in character.
No, I'm saying that like the language was a little coarse, and I thought she was a little judgmental.
Girls aren't judgmental.
No, they can be, but they're never.
They're very open minded. They're known for
sometimes,
that.
Yeah, sometimes very nurturing.
Chris wasn't attracted to the voice, and that's how you know it's wrong.
Oh, I did. Right. Yeah.
I wanted to
make it a voice Chris is attracted to.
Yeah.
So younger.
Yes. More emo.
Younger and higher.
Just do my voice.
I'm loving this.
Now it's Elmo.
Elmo. Do Elmo as a little girl game reviewer.
I don't know. I can't do Elmo.
You were just doing it.
Yeah?
That was pretty
that
good.
That was great.
Elmo's a game reviewer.
See, I'm playing the character of an encouraging podcast host.
That worked pretty well. Pretty well.
Yeah. Oh, man. What a great character. Now we need to make him anti-Semitic.
I do anti-Semitic Robert De Niro.
Are you running the media? Who's running the media?
There we go. There it is. Okay. There's that old energy.
I had to do a very bad Bob De Niro for such a fan of fucking De Niro.
We just need to add a twist of Bob De Niro to make it not anti-Semitic, just a game-related twist.
I just saw him in Stardust last night. He was doing a bad De Niro
impression. Yeah, he's been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah.
I'll be watching you, Greg.
Do Bob De Niro as a PR rep for a game nobody cares about.
Yeah, are you looking at this game? That's pretty bad, right?
You want to do Build-A-Bear Workshop? I'm repping for that. I think it would be good for your audience.
I'm just saying there's a lot of cake games out there, but none of my cake menu.
You got the expressions right.
I know. That's the only thing I have. Someone's supposed to fill in the gap. So I make faces into the microphone. It's not a great meeting for that.
No.
Michael, your turn. New character.
There's that one we always talk about. Is it a caveman game designer or something?
Do it.
I can't recall. You have a better memory than me.
Is it a Geico caveman game designer? But I don't care.
No, he sounds like a regular person on mic. That's silly. You can't see his pronounced brow on mic.
That's true.
Yeah, Michael's doing a really good pronounced brow right now.
He's actually beating Matt over the head and dragging him around.
I'm trying to remember this. This is just great fucking audio right here. But, you know.
Well, this is what they listen for. Is this raw workshop?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm. By the way, you two still owe the world a character. I'm just saying.
Hey, what?
Oh,
Matt,
no, Matt
did one.
You didn't do one.
I did do one.
I did what?
Good. Which one? When?
I did two characters. I did the lying Charlie Bear, and I did encouraging podcast host.
Come on, you can't even. Michael's going to do it.
If I can do fucking Chef Fonzie, you can do something.
Come on.
My vocal cords are incapable.
Just do a funny voice, man.
I don't do this.
I've heard you do a high voice.
You can.
Do an impression of Gary.
Gary?
Yeah.
Do our boss.
Yeah. But
he doesn't talk differently. He just interrupts everybody with jokes all the time.
Come on, man. I'm trying to be encouraging here.
You can do a character called Gary. He's a Y in the middle.
Let me give you a jukebox and light tap.
Yeah.
Come on, Charlie.
I'm doing silent Charlie now.
Do a Kevin James impression.
Kevin James.
How do you do that?
Do anything. Do a dance. Do something. Jesus Christ.
I'm dancing right now.
Tell us a joke. Faster. And better.
No.
We're still trying to figure out where this podcast is going.
Yeah, with Brett gone, it's kind of directionless.
No, I really didn't have time to prepare anything, and I'm totally without. Well, I cannot believe how fucking empty I am without my sound effects.
So when did you lose that?
Hey, shut up! This is Brett.
The airport.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Good. I do still have the Brett sound effects. Just they're on an external hard drive somewhere.
We can all do Brett impressions.
Whatever. Like. You know, what? What is that again? I guess that's something people like. I mean, I don't remember stocking it at Toys R Us, therefore, doesn't exist. Brett.
Brett. He does always end his statements with Brett.
Brett. Brett. Brett Smelston.
Technically, mm-hmm. I should be doing a Brett impression right now because everybody thinks our voices sound alike.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were Brett.
Mm-hmm. So, sushi, what the fuck is that?
Yes, vegetables.
I only liked that after I'd been here a year.
Vegetables? I thought those were only things you traded in Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one's going to laugh. I'm going to end the show.
I assumed you ended it half an hour ago.
No.
I'm just not laughing out of respect for the listeners who are laughing.
I didn't know that was... I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to interrupt their laughter.
Exactly.
That hurts a little less that now that the frequency with which you don't laugh and just stare at me is that respect for people.
Stop it!
That's why I do it.
Yeah, he's pausing for laugh break. Mm-hmm. Pause for laughter.
I'm done laughing at all you fucksticks. All you fucking...
What are you, retarded?
That's kind of filthy. Can you maybe instead stop, you know, be done fucking with all us laugh sticks?
Laugh sticks. All right. I'm quitting for the week.
Wow, yeah. I think we've
driven
this one
into
the ground.
I'm going to go make a new podcast, and you're all welcome. So there.
Oh, okay. We're not all invited?
You are all invited. So there. Yeah, listeners didn't pick up the last tease.
So. He wasn't welcoming us to the podcast. He's just saying you're welcome for me doing this
right.
The podcast.
No, I got that.
Okay. All right.
I was just inviting myself to the...
I'm uninviting myself.
For fuck's sake, nice. Pull the plug.
All right. Next week, Carolyn and Henry will be at TGS. Look forward to some Japanese nonsense. Peace.